Father, we come before you again, thanking you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift up him and ask your guidance in the next few minutes and throughout the remainder of the week in our studies, Father, and each time this ministry goes before the people that are listening over the airways with the Word of God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we're picking up in 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you have the scriptures before you, we're looking now at verse 3. As we mentioned earlier this week, that we have an outline for chapter 6 that gives us from verse 3 to 19, three great comparisons. First, let's look at verses 3 to 8. And here we see great gain. One contrast, one being vanity compared to contentment. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions, and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Now we'll stop there. That is the area of vanity when we speak of gain, great gain. Here it's speaking of those that suppose that gain is godliness. Now we could say a whole lot on this. For as we read that little description of those that suppose that gain is godliness, it is exhorted to us here to withdraw ourselves from this. For we know that if you were to turn the television on, and there is much of what is called religious broadcasting today on the television that falls into this area. Ones that try to push what we call a prosperity gospel. Those that say once you're saved, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. My friend, the Word of God does not teach us this. We must make a clear distinction theologically between Israel in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. When ones try to take the promises given to Israel in the Old Testament and apply it to the New Testament believer today, we see that ones are confused upon the gospel itself. They try to apply those promises given to Israel, but then they don't want to accept the judgments given to Israel. In the sense that the terminology you might hear today over your television and in some local churches, even in Randolph County, they'll try to say that we, the church, are what they say, spiritual Israel. This is foreign to rightly dividing the word of truth. We know that the nation Israel and the church are two distinct entities. The word of God tells us, first of all, that all are born either Gentile, that is, the nations round about, or Israel. When you're saved, you are then in the body of Christ. So we know that when you're saved, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. But we see that from time of entering in upon this scene, upon this earth, you are born Jewish or Gentile. But when you're saved, you're in the body of Christ. There is not the spiritual Israel. That is not what we are. We are the church that are saved today. Ecclesia, meaning the called out ones. Those people that are saved, this is the church. And therefore, we must realize that the Old Testament gives great illustrations, as I've been told before, and I believe this is correct, that when you have a New Testament principle, you can find an illustration from the Old Testament to support that principle. But we must keep in mind that there's a great difference between the church age and the law of the Old Testament. You may find in the Old Testament, as in Romans, it tells us that those things written aforetime were written for our learning. That means that, yes, the Old Testament is good, but yet we must keep it in context and realize that we are not Israel and that we take the Old Testament stories and characters and illustrations and apply that to what we have as an illustration to the principles of the New Testament. So we must remember we are New Testament believers. We are the church. This is the church age. We are not under the law. So when we keep that distinction made, then when ones come on your television, and maybe there are some on radio, but I know specifically there are many on television and many in local churches around America that try to tell you that gain, that being healthy, wealthy and wise, prosperity is part of being a Christian. This is foreign to the Word of God. We know that that the Scripture tells us that here, ones that are destitute of the truth are the ones that are pushing this. There are many that will get on television and push politics and psychology and morality and all this kind of thing and talk about send them a bunch of money and you'll have a blessing and all this thing. And they are those that are destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And it tells us to withdraw ourselves from this. These are ones that are darting about questions and strifes and railings. We see this everywhere on Christian, or that is, religious broadcasting, don't we? People that are striving and arguing and all of these things. And yet they're trying to say, if you're right with God, you'll be wealthy. And you'll have a blessing. And they generally are promoting financial gain upon themselves. So we see here that that is contrary to what we have. As we could turn over to Ephesians 1:3, and it tells us that we as Christians, contrary to the promises of Israel, we that are in the church age, it tells us that our spiritual blessings, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our blessings in the church are spiritual blessings, not necessarily material blessings. Oh, some Christians may have wealth, but that is not a promise from God. The Scripture tells us in John 16:33, if you have the Scripture before you, turn there to John 16 and verse 33. Note these two things. Christ tells us, he's saying, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What a contrast. Christ himself said that in the world you'll have tribulation. He doesn't say you'll have prosperity and all this wealth and health. And we know some Christians, think of Fanny Crosby, who wrote over 3,000 gospel hymns of the faith, and she was blind. Now, she had no promise of that blindness going away, but she was a woman that loved the Lord and recorded, I believe it's in the area of 3,000 hymns of the faith. But she'll have a glorified body one day. That's the promise that we have. So we know by example of people all around us, some of the godliest people we know. I know two people. One, for example, that was a missionary for 30-some years in Japan, and he had a part of his brain taken out. I'm not sure if it's the size of a golf ball or just what size. And another man who was a tremendous teacher of the word in the Guilford County area and all around the up and down the East Coast had a piece of his brain taken out. He was on the shelf for a period of time because of that. He did not have the promise of being healthy, wealthy, and wise, but he was one of the greatest preachers of the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. Yet we see the Lord uses people even when we have a thorn in the flesh. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and three times he asked the Lord to take it away. But the Lord answers our prayers, sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait. So we do not have the promise of health, wealth, and prosperity here on this earth, but we do have the promise of eternal life. We were studying this passage, three of us, the other day. An older gentleman and myself and a new believer. And that new believer spoke up as he was studying this like it just made sense to him all at once. He said, hey, the promise that we have is eternal life, isn't it? And the other brother and I said, amen. He got it right quick, didn't he? We're not promised health, wealth, and prosperity. When we're saved, we're promised peace with God, as Christ said there, in peace that's in him, as he said in John 16:33. And we had the promise of eternal life. My friend, what better could we hope for? We have the blessed hope before us, and we shall have tribulation here. It's been said before, and I believe it today, there's so much of the world in the church today, there's so much liberalism in the church today, that this country, and I hate to say it in one sense, but the church in America needs the taste of a good depression. We need some tribulation, for then the true believers will stand forth, and those that are just tares among the wheat would fade to the side. Those that mean business for God, that's what we need, because the local assembly has been ordained of God, and it is fitted to be able to strive or to prosper in difficult times. The local church is strengthened. Think of China today, how they have thousands of Christians over there, thousands of Christians out of over 1 billion people, and they have hundreds and hundreds of underground local churches. But they are prospering in their spiritual growth and people being saved because of the great persecution they have. My friend, I don't want persecution. But my friend, we know that when that happens, we know that the truth or the cream will rise to the top. If you could bear with me for that illustration, we know that that which is legitimate would stand through tribulation. Now, I'm not talking about the great tribulation, for the church will not be here then, but I'm talking about persecution. When the Christians are put into a position to where they are tested for their faith, then you see those that are real Christians. So, again, as we've got off on a few rabbit trails, but I believe it was needful, that today there's so much, it's so prevalent, that Christianity is being deceived into thinking that if you're right with God, you'll have three limousines in your driveway and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise, my friend. Spiritual blessings is what we're promised when we know Christ is our Savior. And He hears our prayer. He hears the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So yes, the Lord can surely bring us out of our infirmities if it's His will, but we must keep that phrase in our mind. If it's according to His will. We don't demand things of our Lord, and we're not promised that we'll be delivered from these problems here on earth. But we are delivered from it, and we are promised to be delivered from it when one day we will be away from these sinful bodies, away from the devil, and away from this world. And we will be in His presence. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, speaking as our Lord. Praise be to Him that we one day will not be here. Think of that man Job, of how God said to Satan, consider Job. And Satan said, well, look, the only reason he serves you is because you're so good to him. But then the Lord said, well, except for his life, take everything from him if you want to. And what do we see? Job still loved the Lord. Job didn't have health, wealth, and prosperity. But when his wife said, curse God and die, he said, you're speaking as a heathen woman. Job stood with the Lord through infirmity. My friend, are you a legitimate Christian? Are you just one that likes to go to a local church that has a gymnasium and a softball team, and you're just wanting to be a church member and fit in with a crowd in the neighborhood? Or are you looking to be someone who loves the Lord and truly has been born again? And your sins have been washed as far as the east is from the west. My friend, the challenge today is, are you a legitimate Christian? Or are you as one that's thinking that godliness is gain? And I might be speaking to a legitimate Christian that has been duped into thinking these things about wealth and prosperity as a Christian. You might be truly saved, but you've been given a bad dose of poor doctrine. My friend, the scripture says that instead of supposing that gain is godliness, the great contrast is that godliness is with contentment is great gain. We'll pick up there tomorrow, Lord willing, in verse 6 of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe of the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.